My Worst Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina.
Okay, so on the Daily Zeitgeist, and I thought, Cassie, maybe you would have heard this, they were talking about a recent Wall Street Journal article. Okay. And it's, you know, one of those where it's like every now and then Wall Street Journal is like, we're going to do a fun one. You know what I mean? Like,
we're feeling like, spicy.
Like, kind of silly, you know? And I thought it was funny that this came up because this had come up. I was just at home with my family a few months ago, mm-hmm. and this had come up with me and my mom and my brother and his girlfriend. We were talking about this exact thing. So the Wall Street Journal article is basically like, if you hold on, let me read the headline. The headline okay. is, if you sleep in socks, you're a psychopath.
Oh, what?
Health tip kicks up controversy.
Oh, health tip.
Okay. Because, okay, so here's the thing.
Sorry, I rolled my eyes out loud. I didn't mean to.
Well, a doctor came out and said that sleeping in socks is actually better for your health. It's better for, like, it helps you regulate your body temperature because we expend so much energy keeping our, like, appendages warm, like our fingers and our toes. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you can keep your toes warm, your body is, like, expelling less, like, energy. Mm-hmm. It helps you to sleep better. But okay. the internet did not like this. No. At all. People lost their fucking minds. Everybody was like, that is disgusting.
What? Sleeping in socks?
Sleeping in socks. So I have to ask you, pro or anti sleeping in socks?
Depends. We've already had this conversation. Well, I'm the psychopath.
Well, yes.
That
you don't sleep in just socks, right? You're not like nude except socks.
Fucking, that would be the worst. That would be psychotic, actually. Please don't tell us if that's
you're like,
the case.
I like to be free, but I like my toes covered up.
My tootsies. I need my tootsies warm.
No, I am a very, very hot sleeper.
That's what she said.
And I do not like socks. To me, I would never be able to. I can't.
I have to ask, not that this is what this is about, but like every time this comes up, and I've never asked this question, when you go to bed mm-hmm. in the nude,
yeah,
do you have on like a robe and then you shed the robe as you get into bed?
Yeah.
Or you just walk naked?
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You have the robe on and then you take the robe off as you get into bed.
Correct.
That makes sense. It's not just you just like...
just freeballing it.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of times, so my day starts with like somewhat normal people clothes in order to work. And then once 5 o'clock hits, becomes goblin clothes.
PJs immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
And so then, yeah, I'm usually just shedding my goblin clothes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just snuggling into bed.
Yeah. Okay. And what about you, Cass?
Oh, I sleep with clothes on for sure.
Oh no, that
socks. Yeah. You know what's funny is sometimes I'll start the night out with socks on, but then if I get like hot or something, or if like I'm like, then I'll take socks off. Like that's the miracle cure.
Got it.
And
it kind of is though. Weird, it really cools you down.
It's weird.
It is. It's like your appendages and your head like trap a lot of heat. That's why they tell you to wear like
a hood.
Mittens and hats and stuff.
I wear a hooded sweatshirt at night a lot of times. And that's mostly to keep out the ghosts.
Yes, keep the demons away.
The demons out. Mm-hmm. But that's, I like to keep the demons off my feet too. So socks do protect them from the goblins.
You know, I found it interesting that people had such strong reactions.
What are you?
So, okay.
Yeah.
For me, everyone knows I'm cold all the time. My feet are cold right now.
Mm. Yeah.
And you have shoes
on. And I have shoes, socks and shoes on. Mm-hmm. But I will sleep without socks. So I wear socks and slippers because I am cold mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm always with a hoodie or a robe on, socks and slippers in my house.
Yeah.
But when I go to bed, I get in bed, I take my socks off mm-hmm. to go to sleep. Unless it's really cold. Like when I was at home,
that's
like
me.
Visiting when it was in the winter, I was sleeping in like sweaters and thick socks. Like because I wanted to stay warm. So I'm not like disgusted by the thought of sleeping in your socks.
Here's the thing I will say about the socks. It has to be the right sock because like a footie, if I wake up and there's a footie halfway down my foot, I want to murder someone.
Yeah.
I don't know why,
but it's so peeling off.
So it makes me absolutely.
Well, and the other point that they made on Daily Zeitgeist is like, you don't go to sleep in the socks you were wearing all day.
Right.
Oh, that's gross.
Not
what you
do. That's
just
not like dumb. You were out
you
in the world.
Have, like sleep socks. I have a whole bunch of different fluffy warm socks.
That's exactly right.
For when it's like cold around the house or like when I put my goblin clothes on, then I usually
goblin
will
socks.
Put on goblin socks.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. But I'm not putting those dirty goblin socks into the bed.
I will say that it will be the same socks I slip her in, maybe. Maybe. But they're not my outside socks.
Not the outdoor socks. Inside socks only.
Also have not great memories of having sexy time.
Oh, with socks on?
No, not me.
With your partner.
Yeah.
How fucking dare you? That's disrespectful.
It's happened multiple times with multiple partners.
Look, I agree with you.
Time out. We have to have this conversation.
I agree because it's like Porky Pig in it, but just the feet.
Oh, yeah. Which is, it's unsettling. It's unattractive.
Disrespectful.
It's not. I don't know. It takes me out immediately.
Better that than people with like crusty feet. I'd rather you keep your socks on.
Oh, yeah. If you have dirty feet.
If your feet are...
Which is worse?
Or
I don't know.
Crusty or like long toenails. Keep socks on. Keep them on.
No.
I don't want that shit rubbing up against me.
I want to know. I want to know that that's that way so I can get away. I don't want your socks on and I don't want dirty... It's not too much to ask to have neither. No. That's not like an and or. And or if. Like.
Well, sometimes you're in an... by the time you see... the sock,
it's too late,
or the bad foot, we're already in this. And so then you just need to like mentally go to like your happy place while like you're just looking at like white socks that are slightly brown on the sole while they're just trying to like
tick
you down.
No, it's not too much to ask them.
Crusty socks are the grossest.
Clean unsocked feet, so fuck me. No, absolutely not. This isn't too much to ask.
2024
standards.
Yeah, exactly. We're saying socks off.
Clean, socks off and dirty clean feet.
And clean feet. It's not an and or.
This is why men should not be averse to getting pedicures. Listen.
Oh, dude, it's
no one's telling you.
Chris is averse to getting pedicures only because he's so ticklish, but he keeps them clean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
He clips those nails.
There was someone on Reddit who said that they're like, I only ever sleep in my socks if I get like completely trashed and then I wake up in my socks. And they said waking up in their socks was worse than the hangover.
Yeah.
I'm like, but why?
Because you have sweaty, moist, damp feet.
What?
Encased in socks. And then
take a shower and then it's fine.
I don't get that.
But I don't think it's that bad.
I will tell you that I do draw the line at sock fucking. I do not. I don't think I have ever. I'm not going to lie to you.
I have multiple examples in my head right now.
Unless I have blocked them entirely.
Is that just a thing? I mean, it's not just like one person. It wasn't also every time, but
it's
like,
happened to me. I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, take the minute to take the socks
so
off.
So easy.
Everything else
you don't
is
actually
off.
Have to use your hands. You could probably just use your
yeah,
feet.
We are, why we are the socks talking still on? Specifically about being completely nude with the exception of socks.
Awful.
We're not talking about like you were doing it quick and you have your clothes on.
That correct. Is psychotic. I'm that, not.
Right. You're saying completely nude.
I'm saying completely nude except for white socks.
I think that's happened.
I mean,
I do. Yeah.
And we're on a bed, I'm assuming. Like, no, this isn't like public sex. Like,
well, no,
that's also weird, Cassie. If you're
completely nude except for socks,
that's weirder.
Socks.
Oh, I hate this conversation.
It's so much weirder.
I hate the idea of having. I don't know why it is bothering me so.
Yeah, you are
much.
Triggered.
I hate it
in a major way.
I am grossed out by the idea of somebody. Fucking me.
Dicking you down with socks
on. Dicking me down with socks on.
Feel it rubbing.
That's the thing is like.
Why do I feel their feet anyway?
The dirtiness of the socks. It's like. No. We've all seen. We've all
what
experienced.
What kind of dick downing are you
doing? We know men.
Yeah.
So we've all experienced men who have those socks that are like so crusty that they're like hard.
Or worn down.
Yeah.
They're very worn. They're
almost a toe coming through.
Threadbare.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, threadbare.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt the. Like, I have three brothers. Trust me, I have felt the socks where they're kind of crunchy.
Yeah,
you're like, how long have you been wearing these?
Oh my God, this just gets worse. I feel like this all was happening like within my 20s. So yeah, we're not talking about like business socks.
No, you're talking crusty like Fruit of the Loom Hanes socks.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You're talking, yes. They just started doing their own laundry. Correct. So they haven't done it.
Their fabric softener, what? What? Exactly. No.
My son has been doing his laundry since he was 10. I don't know about all this shit. Like, I don't know. No.
Three brothers, I can tell you, it's the crusty socks exist in the world.
I believe that they exist. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they don't exist. What I'm saying is it better not exist on the foot of a motherfucker who's trying to fuck me.
Listeners, I need you to write in your experiences. I feel like this is somewhat a common experience.
Younger.
I would say like it hasn't happened. Obviously not recently, but
you better fucking say it's not happened since you met Eric, because I swear to God, I will not be able to look at Eric and think about him fucking you.
You're just gonna put his socks on.
You're just gonna be staring at his feet next time he comes over, just looking at him like,
what you doing with them feet? That was a good I think discussion. It almost made me think of the time we were talking about how to put on bras too. And I learned for the first time in my life how strange my bra putting on technique is.
Yeah, yours is the weirdest.
Yeah.
And TikTok weighed in on that. And so it's not just me and Cassie saying that. It's so as a refresher to the listeners, Christina puts her bra on front like first.
Psychopath.
And then clasps in the back. Which I feel like I only see in erotic movies.
And then put your arms in.
And then I put my arms in last.
Oh, yeah. So you don't even put your arms in through first. Because
that's how I do it.
That's how Cassie does it. Mm-hmm. Which I think both of you are making it far too complicated, because I am a front clasper spinny around.
The spinny around thing just takes too long.
It gets twisty. I want it perfect. I want smooth perfection.
What are you doing that it's twisting? You just lay it flat and spin it around.
I think that's a size thing, and I'm not saying anything about, except that I have big titties,
yeah,
and so does Christina.
True.
I just feel like it's not as
you
easy
get
to
up
do
underneath.
The, yeah,
got
it's not
it.
As easy to do the twisty when you get the titties.
Yeah,
and so, I'll say that might be maybe that's the difference.
Well, then I think Christina's is by far the weirdest, because it's like you are clasping in the back,
correct? So then, I put it on like upside down, so like the cups are down here. And I clasp it, and then I just...
Truly the worst of both worlds.
Also, the danger of twisting in that scenario is also very, very, very scary.
Because you have danger of twisting, and you also can't see your clasps. Like, I clasp in the front so I can see what I'm doing.
I clasp it. It happens. It happens quickly, too. So, you know, I did try... Yeah, I'm used to doing it. That's the way I've always put the bra on.
There you go.
So. Were you taught that, or was that like a self-taught situation?
I honestly cannot for the life of me remember.
Mm. I will say that I think, and we know because I've talked about this on the podcast, that I'm a damaged human. I think that mine comes from being the most modest and also the least twisty.
Covering
as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm.
Oh, me.
Yeah, because tits are out.
For a long time. Yeah.
I think mine is more like cover them quickly.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to see
them. I hear you. Yeah. My mom taught me that like front twisty claspy situation.
Anybody taught me how to put a bra on. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I mean, Gen X.
Yeah. They're like, figure it out. Figure it out.
You'll figure it out.
You're fine. How do you have babies? Oh, you're pregnant? Cool.
Well,
that's how.
Great. Okay,
cool.
Good talk. Today is Christina's birthday.
Oh, yes, hell yeah.
The day we're recording, not the day that you're hearing this, listeners. But when you hear this, send Christina a happy birthday message. Comment on our post on Instagram with a quick happy birthday.
Thanks.
Happy Capricorn Queen.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited. I think I brought it up on the podcast before that apparently like there's this huge shift in Pluto, like 15 years of struggle is supposedly going to be lifted in like a week and a half. And I'm so fucking excited.
Oh my God. Is that for Chris too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It depends on what house your Capricorn is in, is something that apparently you've been struggling with for 15 years is now going to be lifted.
Love that.
So Capricorn was in my house that governs family and relationships.
Oh,
which is really interesting to me to think that 15 years ago was when I left Shadow.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So all of that, I'm like, oh man, that's so cool to think. I'm very, very excited to see what this opens up. And I think there's a couple other signs that this affects as well. So not just us caps, but since we're talking caps.
Yeah. So we had our end of the year business meeting and we were kind of like discussing through things. And I was thinking like, oh, you know, maybe once in a while we can just do fuck, marry, kills of whatever zodiac sign we're in. And then sure enough, we got a message from a listener who said the same thing. They're like, you know, I love your zodiac star sign talk. So you should every now and again just fuck, marry, kill a specific sign for whatever season you're in.
Yeah.
And love it. What better time to do that than on Christina's birthday?
Hell yeah. Capricorns.
Like, let's just fuck, marry, kill some Capricorns.
Now, listen, is it a good idea for me to marry another Capricorn?
Maybe pick a December Cap. You get a little variety in there for you.
Yeah, a little bit. That's true. You know, I think I'm going to go with someone I know we haven't done before.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Ralph Fiennes.
Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah. He is a December Capricorn.
He's so good looking.
Yeah.
He seems gentle. He's like a
Lord
gentle,
Voldemort.
Yeah. But he has like a yes. Not obviously the character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's played some really dark characters, but he's hot.
Yeah.
He's really hot.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna go with another Brit. And someone who shares your actual birthday day.
And year.
Actually, you guys are the same birthday.
Who's this?
Eddie Redmayne.
Oh.
I'm going to do Eddie Redmayne.
Fucking nice. Twinsies.
Twinsies. Yep. Birthday twins.
I love this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do, relate it back to our girl. I'm going to do an Ohio favorite. And that's Mr. John Legend.
John Legend. Okay. Yep. John Legend, Eddie Redmayne, Ralph Fiennes. Ooh.
Wow.
Okay.
That's tough.
It's tough. I feel like they're different.
All right. Birthday girl has to go first.
Okay. The last thing I saw John Legend do, I guess he did a Jesus Christ Superstar live in concert.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. I could dig that. He's so talented. Yeah. And I love how much he loves his wife. I'm going to be honest.
Beautiful voice.
Yeah.
Short king.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, he strikes me as someone that is very nice, and we know how I feel about that.
Yeah. Mm.
But he is a Capricorn.
He is a Cap, so he's got to have some bite to him.
He's got some drive.
I know what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I am going to marry Ralph Fiennes, and I think it's because there's a maturity, a solidity there.
I like that.
There is a Scotch energy.
Yes. There's a fireplace.
There's a fireplace.
There's books.
Yeah. Many books.
So many books.
Yeah. He seems like, and I don't know that he ever had like a wild party phase, at least not a public one, but he seems very grounded, very chill.
Yeah.
Like it seems like he's at a point in his life where he's like, I don't need to go out all the time. Yeah. Like we can just kind of hang out and cook.
Split a bottle of red and watch British Bake Off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're going to have dogs for sure. Like,
but I also think too, the energy, like, listen, I'm getting older right now, so I'm not like a fuck machine all the time. But I feel like
all the time. Bang, 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 bang.
I feel like with Ralph Fiennes, I'm like, when it's on, it's on.
Yes. Agree.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, agree. Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like it's not on all the time, but like when the mood is right, it is right and it is spicy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
I like that. And then I think I'm going to fuck Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah.
Okay. We've had a conversation because Eddie Redmayne is kind of polarizing. There's not a lot of people that think he's attractive. I'm in the attractive camp.
I agree. I think he has one of those faces. It's kind of like Cillian Murphy. I think people feel similarly. Like he has one of those faces that almost shouldn't be. There's something too much about his like lips, like the proportions are strange, but like for me it works. I kind of like that mix of like masculine and feminine energy that I get from his face.
Yes. And he gives me people pleaser vibes where I'm like, please me. Thank you can much. Please this people yeah, right I like, here.
I just, there's something very likable and very humble about his energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the British accent and everything. Yeah. So, I'll be friends with.
I mean, Ralph Fiennes too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ralph Fiennes is a little gruffer though. There's something almost like Hugh Grant sheepish about Eddie Redmayne like.
Yeah.
About him.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. Where Ralph Fiennes doesn't give me sheepish.
No.
He's
no.
more confident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Ugh, mine's a. I think I'm actually going to. I think I'm going to marry Ralph Fiennes too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because, same thing you said, like, I just love the energy is right. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this, like, settled calmness.
Yes.
About him mm-hmm. that makes, which I need around me, which is why I married my Capricorn.
That's right.
I need that, like,
grounded energy.
I can be going 90 miles an hour and just this one solid little energy piece. They're the sun. I can be circling 90 miles an hour.
Yeah. You're the golden retriever in this relationship.
100%. 100%. And they're just the really sweet
patient owner.
Sheepdog.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, This is fine. He'll come around. Just you gotta let him run. she'll be back.
He'll wear himself out.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. And then I'm gonna fuck John Legend. Only because John Legend has been on my fucking list since.
John Legend is gonna bring you French toast in bed in the morning. Like, I feel he is
so fucking hot. And we all know how much I love a good schnoz. Oh, he's the best. Schnoz.
He's beautiful skin, so beautiful cheekbones.
Yeah. Hot. Yeah. He's really attractive.
He looks symmetrical. Like, he's like a very good looking guy. Yeah.
And also too, I was really torn on whether I was going to marry him because I do love how much he loves his wife.
Yeah. His family in general.
He's really very, like, he's protective of them. Mm-hmm. He supports her even when she does dumb shit. Yeah. And he's like, probably dumb, but I got your back, bitch.
Yeah.
He looks like he's going to age really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like I think Pharrell. He's going to age like really well. And even when he starts to like actually, because Pharrell still looks like he hasn't aged. Even when John Legend looks like he, like when he actually starts aging, I feel like he's going to gray nicely. Mm-hmm. Like there's just something about, I feel like the way he smiles, like I feel like his smile lines are going to be good. What I mean?
Might he just be the kind who balds and doesn't gray? Maybe.
I can't see John Legend bald.
I can't imagine him gray.
I don't know.
All right. Anyway.
Okay. I am going to marry Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. I just think that there's something about his like energy that feels like it would be relaxing to me.
Yeah. Dude, he would also.
Yeah.
I get the feeling like he would be the type to treat his partner like
queen.
Yes. I think so.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like John Legend.
He's a cuddle on the couch kind of person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I get that energy from him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like that. I like that. So I am going to marry Eddie Redmayne. I'm going to fuck Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something about it.
I want to find out. Mm-hmm. I just got to know, you know, it is one of those things. And he is like an older guy who I'm just like,
he doesn't get it
all the time, but he can still fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's like, I'm not a fuck machine, like you said, but I can when I'm faced with the opportunity.
He pulls out his wallet. He's like, I have the card here. I still fuck. I do.
I can still fuck.
It is stamped, recently updated. So.
Also, and I know he doesn't look like this anymore. And I also know that this character is gross. So keep that in mind. However, you do see his full naked body in Red Dragon.
Yeah.
And he's got that back tat. In Red Dragon. And you're like, wow, that's nice.
Hi. Yeah. Hi.
And then I'm with you. I want to be friends with John Legend. I do. Because he seems like a sweetie.
Yeah.
Like he does.
He does seem like the coolest.
Yeah, he seems very, very cool. And I would love to hang out with him. Don't want to kill him at all.
I can't fuck Eddie Redmayne just because I feel like I would break Eddie. He just seems too nice.
He's got skinny guy strength. Oh, you meant...
No!
I thought you meant physically.
No.
I was like, I think he'll be fine.
I think he'd hold up. No, I'm talking about I don't want to hurt him in an emotional way.
He's a Capricorn. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Emotional damage.
Oh, well, I think we need to take five and then we'll come back with stories.
That sounds good.
And we're back. Okay. I have the tainted love this week, so I will kick us off with stories.
You haven't given us any hints on your tainted love.
I have not.
Not even a little bit.
I've had opportunities to. I haven't. So I will.
I'm excited.
We will get there.
I'm excited.
Me too. Okay. So I had just broken up with someone who wanted only a warm body to ease her rebound from breaking up with her ex, while I wanted more of a committed relationship. Mm. So suffice it to say, I was a bit lonely and looking for someone more on the same page. I reactivated my OkCupid profile and resumed the search.
Okay.
I mean, you know what you're looking for. Good luck, Godspeed.
It's not plenty of fish. It's so true. You know, we'll take that.
Yeah. I mean, it does say okay in the name.
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, what is that about?
Okay.
Okay, Cupid. All right. Fine. Okay. She messaged me, which is a bit out of the ordinary, but hardly a red flag. I was, of course, thrilled. Her profile indicated she spoke a ton of languages, was in a PhD program, and liked motorcycles. She's
dude.
Not like the other girls.
No, she is a cool girl.
Cool girls. She overall seemed like someone brilliant and eccentric. She was also quite attractive and lived very close by. Check, 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 check.
I mean, yeah.
Her first message to me was, "Why are you so gosh darn beautiful?"
Oh.
Oh. I don't think I like that.
I don't like that.
Gosh darn.
Gosh darn beautiful.
Why are you so gosh
darn? If a man said that to me.
It's not all of that.
I don't like
block
it.
Block that opening. Block.
That's how little it takes these days. We're like,
it's in the 90s anymore.
Mm-mm. Even then. So we chat for a while. She was smart as hell and I was very interested. And phone numbers get exchanged. One cold evening in December, I hunker down to write a final project due in 18 hours. I pop an Adderall and get to work.
There we go.
Let's real talk.
Zip, zap. Adderall is what is it, like baby's first Coke?
Yeah. Baby's first taste of cocaine. Yeah. Definitely.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. So sorry. This is a total spinoff, but Chris is back home in Ohio helping my family out. And he was like, oh, I woke up this morning to the devil. That devil white stuff. I was like, cocaine?
Right. He's like, snow. Yeah. Snow.
Oops.
On one of my breaks, she gives me a call and we chat. And all of a sudden, she starts questioning me about every tiny detail on my profile in a very accusatory tone. Of course, since I was under the influence of a medical grade stimulant and am an anxious individual at even the best of times, my anxiety spiked and I had to stop conversation, apologizing profusely.
I can't do this right now. We're just like a lot.
Short circuit. I was sick of. I was not in the best mental state at the time, of course. Maybe I overreacted. But her response? For the next week, she would call me nonstop. My phone would not stop vibrating. Oof. She literally kept dialing and redialing as though she was hovering over the phone and waiting for the call to hang up so that she could redial again.
Oh, I hate that. That's terrifying. The
worst. And if you have anxiety, Sue, that is the worst. I had to shut my phone off because every time I blocked her number, it would work for about half a day before she started calling me from a different number.
No. What the psychotic shit?
I got chills.
Get this.
No.
Her last message to me was, "Answer and speak or I'll fucking kill you." Heart emoji. Not even a heart emoji. A heart emoticon. Like the lesser than symbol and a three.
No. Ooh, that is so scary.
Answer and speak or I'll fucking kill you. Heart.
Oh.
She threatened me and ended it with a heart emoticon. The universe could have undergone heat death and collapsed back into a primordial singularity. And I would not have been able to go nope, nope, nope enough times to express my feelings about the whole situation.
I'm starting panicked. To take screenshots, starting to take notes. Yes. I'm reaching out to authorities.
You haven't even met this person in real life. Like you've only ever chatted. Like... Very scary.
It reminds me of that woman that kept texting.
Yes.
That
yes.
guy. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Literally, yes. Right before we started this podcast, there was that story about it was like tens of thousands
of texts.
I remember.
Insane.
And it was like 60,000 texts or something crazy.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. Fortunately, the next time I tried OkCupid, I found a wonderful, loving, and most importantly, not out of her mind person with whom we enjoyed a few months of joy and growth before we had to break up because of life circumstances.
Oh. Whew. No, I mean, that honestly sounds like somebody that is going through some sort of episode.
Why would you? You don't even know this
person.
You don't
even know
them.
It's
not like an ex. It's not. I mean, not that it would be acceptable in that case either.
Never acceptable in any scenario. But
this is someone you've never met before. Like, you've only ever seen their profile, chatted a few times via text, and had one brief phone call.
Yeah.
No.
That
turning your phone off because somebody will not stop calling you.
That just makes me
phone calls make me anxious.
Anyways.
Yeah. And you're the one who's like. Pro phone call if you know before a date but like that is another scenario
right
this is like if my phone's ringing it better be a goddamn emergency.
I always feel too similarly to like if I have to stop by somebody's house and you text first, if I have to call somebody I usually text them first.
Yeah,
is it okay to call you
right
now?
Yes,
I feel like that's etiquette. Now
There are only a handful of people who I don't feel like I need to do that with, and it's like my mom.
Yeah.
I'm like, if she doesn't pick up, it's fine, and we'll talk later.
I'll connect with you later. Yeah.
But people our age and younger, I feel like you have to warn somebody that you're going
to
call them.
I need to be prepared.
I mean, Chris, I'll do that without texting.
Oh yeah, Eric is fine.
Yeah, calm. I need to be prepared for a phone call.
Yeah.
People who FaceTime with no warning, psychopaths.
How dare you? Better be an accident.
I will not pick up. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
That better be a fucking
it's
accident.
Not happening.
What's wrong with you?
Does
that?
If I am not engaged with other people in person, I look like an absolute couch trash. Like horrifying.
As you should, honestly.
Okay, I am not trying to get on a FaceTime.
No.
And also, listen, you're one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen in real life.
Right.
Nobody looks good on FaceTime.
No one.
About that front-facing camera. It does really weird shit to like the perspective just makes
never
you
good.
Look. That's why I'm always like, listen, don't ever look at yourself too much in that front-facing camera because
you will have
dysmorphia.
Yeah.
About
it's like
what
anxiety.
You look like.
It lies.
Yep.
Yeah. I will tell you, the only people I ever talk to on a camera phone, unless we're like recording an episode, would be like Chris. If like he's at the grocery store and he's like, can I show you something?
No. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and my parents. My parents, I'll do that because, you know, I miss their face, you know, so, and I think they appreciate that too. My son.
The grocery store. Do you guys know the canned pumpkin story? The canned pumpkin guy?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, this was on TikTok. Oh, my fucking God.
No. Tell me.
Okay. So. A wife asks her husband to go to the store because she needs ingredients for pumpkin pie bars.
Okay.
And for him, it should be said, like, it's his favorite, like, fall
treat.
Thing she makes.
Great.
Correct. So she has this list of ingredients. Mm-hmm. He notices that there's no pumpkin pie filling on the list. So he calls because maybe they already have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? She doesn't pick up. And so then to teach her a lesson... He doesn't just get a can of pumpkin pie
filling. Which is $2.
Teach her a lesson.
That's his words. Exactly.
Teach her. Well, you could end there.
And so.
Fuck this.
It gets worse.
Yeah. He goes back and he's like basically blames her. Like, you didn't pick up. You didn't put it on the list. So
well,
I didn't get it.
She calls. So he's driving. He just gotten into his car. Like, they just left the grocery store. He's in his car. And she calls him and is like,
"Is he videoing this?
Hey,
like he's doing
he
a TikTok.
He did a TikTok. He's a comedian, of course. So he did a like he because she sees that he called. She realizes that there's no pumpkin pie on the list. So or pumpkin filling on the list. So she calls him back, and he's like, "Nope, you left it on the list. You didn't pick up when I called. I'm already in the car. If you want it, you can come to the store and get it yourself.
I don't need it." I'm not doing it.
Yeah, then I guess you're not getting like
the
fuck.
Okay.
So,
and the comments.
The comments.
Oh
are,
my God.
So I guess something I saw yesterday was now there's hot sauce dad.
Oh Jesus.
Because this girl is like, I asked my dad to pick up some hot sauce for me while he was at the store. He
picked up all of them.
He didn't know which kind to get.
He picked up like 40 different bottles. Like, it Buffalo? Is it Cholula? Did you want to try something new? Like all this
stuff.
Got them all. And one of the top comments, which I loved, is like, in a world of canned pumpkin dudes, be the hot sauce dad.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm...
Yeah,
yes.
The comments on that pumpkin video, there were men on there just outing themselves left and right, defending this guy, being like, well, if he'd gotten the pumpkin, then she would have nagged at him and yelled at him for wasting money. And I'm like, it's $2 over. And it's something that if, by the way, you already had pumpkin at home, it's in a can. It keeps for years. Yeah. It can just sit there until next year and you can use it then.
You can make bread. You can make ravioli.
Ridiculous. Like, teach your wife a lesson for something she doesn't even have to do for you.
Yeah. First of all, that sentence, I hate that.
Yeah.
Teach your wife a lesson.
You. Yeah.
Oh, no. That's why I said you could end it there because fuck you.
Yeah.
Oh, I fucking hate that.
Ugh.
Well, let's hot talk sauce more dad. About, yeah. Be a hot sauce dad.
Yeah. Hot sauce dad. Okay. So this person says, back in 2010, I've been out at a rock night dancing my 23-year-old goth little heart out. Mm. And I'd given my number to a couple of scrawny, long-haired metalheads.
Yep.
Went home alone, but the next day I got a message along the lines of, hi, my name's A. We met last night. Mm-hmm. Want to grab a drink tomorrow?
His name's Aaron, by the way. Right?
You're right. A?
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously.
I couldn't for the life of me remember the names of the two guys I'd given my number to, but I happily agreed. I arrive at the pub the next day, couldn't see either of these guys anywhere, and suddenly this huge muscle-bound looking guy starts waving at me and runs up.
Oh.
I don't recognize him at all, and he yanks me to the bar, orders me a triple, and then guides me to his table.
Oh.
I'm pissed off that some guy has my number, so I decided to stay for one drink and find out how the fuck he got my number. Yeah.
I'm curious enough to have that one drink to find out how the fuck
you're in
you.
A public place, right. Yeah. And stuff like that.
Free drink.
So, yeah. Before I even open my mouth, he's digging around in his pocket and pulls out a handful of lint, dirt, and four unpackaged tablets.
What?
Want to?
No.
He asked eagerly at my look of horror.
Oh, no.
No.
Look, you can't eat at everybody's house and you can't take drugs from everybody's pocket.
Amen.
No. You cannot. Pocket drugs from strangers?
No.
That's going to be a no dog.
No.
That's not safe. So, no, I don't want random tablets from a stranger's dirty ass tracksuit pocket.
Oh, my God. What is happening?
So it's like, no, I don't do drugs. Okay, he said, and downed all four, lint, dirt, and all. I've now shifted from angry but comfortable to full on. Time to leave. I don't care where he got my number. I'll just block him.
Also, what is he taking? Like,
what are the four?
Whatever it is, four is too many.
Yep.
I'll tell you that right
even
now.
Even ibuprofen.
Yeah, it feels like
too much. Yeah, it's a lot.
Would you want two of these? Ibus?
I'm just carrying in my...
I'm just going to take them all.
Just raw dogging pills in your pocket?
Gross. Ugh.
You can't put them in a little baggie?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Seriously. Every time I try to get up to leave, he follows me, tries to leave with me, even follows me to the bathroom.
Ooh, well, my dog?
That's whenever you get the management of the bar involved.
Yep.
Like, you got to tell somebody.
Order
like,
an angel shot.
I don't know who this guy is, and he won't leave me alone. Can I get somebody who works here to please escort me to my car?
That's right.
Like, no.
She says, I'm trapped in the shitty pub with a stranger twice my size who's taken enough drugs to down a horse.
Mm-mm.
I moved to the bar to try to get rescue from the staff, but he's already elbowed me aside and ordered another drink.
And I'm behind him waving my arms like, no.
S-O-S.
Frantically mouthed at the bartender, no alcohol, help, which mercifully he sees. He pours me a Coke, charge the guy for a triple, and start talking to each other. In the meantime, I've been pulled to a new table, this time with his friends. He roots in his pocket again and pulls out four more pills.
No.
You sure you don't want some?
No.
They're really good.
Sheena, is he going to take four more pills?
No.
I shake my head no, and he shrugs and takes the next four.
Eight? Because I'm picturing in my head that this is Molly. Like, this is like ecstasy. Eight ecstasy pills
will make you're gonna meet
you're
Jesus.
Gonna go to the hospital. Yeah, like that's so much.
That's
you're
meet Jesus. Seriously.
I mean, I don't know what else it could be. What
He's
else could
see
it be?
Nick Cage in City of Angels.
He's sitting in the corner on the other side of the bar, just watching, just all watching. Creepy. Yeah,
yeah. He is now 8 pills deep and gnawing his fucking face off while talking to his friends about heading to the local club.
It's Molly. He's on Molly.
Yeah, he's Molly.
At this point, my savior appears
in
the
form. Everything. Chewing his face off.
Chewing his face off. Yeah, he's talking Molly. A mile a minute. He wants to go dancing. Check, check, check.
Yeah. Yep. We nailed it.
I got my, we figured out what drug it is. Okay. Great, 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 great.
That's 8 too much. Is too many.
Way too many. At that point, my savior appears.
He also saw Nick Cage in the corner. Yes,
he did.
My savior appears in the form of the tallest barman on staff who walks up smiling. Oh, my God. I have not seen you in years. Want to smoke?
Yes.
I have never, ever before tonight met him. I don't smoke, but oh, my God. Hi. Yes, definitely.
Oh, my gosh. Let's go catch up, please.
He takes me out back into a staff-only area and explains I can wait until that guy leaves. His boss gives him permission to either walk me home or to a taxi after to make sure I was safe. Aww. When the coast was clear, he did just that. My home was only a 10-minute walk away, so he walked me home.
Aww. At this point, I'm having someone put me in a taxi, though. I'm like, I don't trust nobody.
This is where the story should have ended.
Oh, God.
No.
Sadly, it's not.
Oh, no.
My date, in quotes, followed us. Oh.
No.
Neither of us noticed.
Oh my God.
As I go to lock the door, he shoves it open.
Shut up.
Barges his high as fuck ass into my hallway and instantly starts taking his clothes off.
Where's the bar guy?
This is the Fatal Attraction episode. The people bar guy? In these stories are unhinged.
Just drops his fucking pants while telling me how once he got stabbed by a guy. Just as I hit call on 999, my bouncer housemate walks in the door.
Oh my God.
She Jesus is built like a brick shit house and has the attitude of an angry bulldog.
Oh, thank God.
She takes one look at my face of fear and grabs the fucker by the back of his neck and launches him down the steps into the street, kicking his clothes out after.
Yes.
He knocked at the door for a while, but cleared off pretty quick when we shouted the police were on their way. So that ended my worst date ever.
Holy
That's
shit.
That's so
but
fucking
now
scary.
Now he knows where I live.
That's so scary.
Eight pills. You're, I'd be terrified. I'd be like, time to break the lease. Yeah. Bye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh,
fuck. Dude, that's so scary.
Very to
scary.
Think that your home's safe after being that uncomfortable and then the door barges open. Oh.
Yeah, because the guy who escorted her home probably got her home and, you know, like, he's like, okay, we're here. Didn't go
right to the door.
Right to the door. Right. With her.
Yeah.
God, that's so scary.
Oh, my God.
Dude. Dude, that's so frightening. I'm so scared.
I did too, Molly. One time, and I thought I was my face was
that I've never done.
Off.
No, but
Keegan and I split one, and then I realized I needed to go on to something antidepressants.
That's right. You were like, wow, joy.
I was like, oh my God, this is what happiness feels like. I forgot.
I see colors.
Oh my God. Yeah. So I have a joyous story about.
Yeah, it can be fun.
My half Molly.
It can be fun and everything, but yeah, I'm just like I can't even imagine what eight would do.
Raw from your pocket?
Just
covered in sand?
No.
Tracksuit pocket of two is very specific.
All right, that's plenty.
Okay. This is Cassie's least favorite episode. We got socks. We got lint.
Yeah. I hate this. Lots of crumbs.
Yeah, lots of body crumbs. All right. My story is fucking wild. I got this on Reddit. It says, my worst date was a 12-hour marathon date that included a trip to the hospital, questioning by police, and ended up with her crying. Oof. It was followed up by a call from her lawyer 6 months later to ask if I would be willing to defend her in court.
What?
Shiver.
All right. Give me the details.
All right.
I'm in.
She was driving and I was a passenger in the passenger seat. She was a bit of an airhead and not paying attention to the road. She was looking at me instead of the road. like they do in the movies when they drive.
Hate that. I was about to say that. Yeah. I'm like, when I watch a movie, it will take me out of it immediately. If they're having, I was watching like, Donnie Brasco and he was having a full fucking conversation with Al Pacino.
Sir.
Like, I'm like, you can't say four sentences in a row without turning back to look at the road.
I can't say four words. My hands sometimes follow my head without realizing it.
Yeah. So
a 10 and 2, eyes on the road.
That's exactly right. And guess what? I can still hear with my ears.
Yeah.
When my face is forward.
It's so bizarre. It's weird. I'm just know. Guys, you don't need to look into their eyes when you are driving.
She apparently did. Me, watch out. There's someone in the road. My date, haha, you're so funny.
Bitch.
Me, stop the car. There's someone in the road. My date, oh no, slams on brakes.
Why would I joke with you about this?
We hit a woman who goes flying across the hood of the car, lands on the side of the road.
That's fucking awful. Why am I laughing so hard?
Because the vision, like the visual of that is so funny. It's just like,
no, it's slow-mo. It's like
spinning. Oh, little old lady just spinning.
God.
We get out of the car to go check her. She's not moving.
Oh my God.
My date. Oh God, she's dead. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God.
Do you know how much I would panic if I hit someone?
Forget
even
it.
Even if they were fine.
Even,
like,
fine.
Even if I tap them. I
stop it.
Would lose my shit.
Mm.
I would actually cut my license up immediately.
Yeah, I'd be like, well,
I don't deserve this.
I'm not responsible enough for this, clearly.
Holy shit. About this time, a crowd starts forming. Police are called. A bunch of people are standing over the woman. When she starts to move.
I have to defend her in court?
Wait. When she starts to move and say something, she begins to mumble what sounds like the name of the woman I'm with.
Oh my God.
Me thinking, oh, that can't be what she said. I look over at my date and she's dumbfounded look on her face. The woman then clearly says the name of my date. The person she just hit with a car is now pointing at her and saying her name. It is like something from a teen horror movie. My date. Oh, shit. I know her.
Oh, fuck.
She is my ex-boyfriend's mom.
That's what I was going to say. It had to be. And they're like, so that mom is like, this bitch hit me on purpose.
Oh, my.
Can you imagine?
A first date. This is too much.
I'm walking home.
Yeah, you can be like, you have this. I'm not involved. Like a passenger, I'm not in this at all.
You can take my statement later. I'm gonna go.
Me thinking, you just ran over your ex's mom while on a date with another guy. At this point, I'm wondering what she will do to my mother after we break up.
Oh, Jesus.
We go inside and call her mother to pick her up. After talking to the police, her mother asks me to drive her van and she would drive her daughter's car home. Mm. I then find myself driving a van of a woman I have never met and her two children in it.
Whoa! Hold up. What is wrong with this bloodline? Like, the mom and the daughter, like, questionable decisions are being made.
Leave the kids at home.
Why? I would never leave my kids alone in a car with a strange man.
First date.
That's fucking so bizarre.
First date, guys.
No.
First date. There's so much strangeness in this date. I could feel, couldn't fit it all in this message. It would be 20-page story, so I will stop it there. So I do have to say, because I was like, okay. I was like, I like everyone else in the comments was like, and tell us everything.
Yes.
Tell us, write the book. We will buy it. He did not come back to explain further, but
I want to know if he went to court, like if he actually testified on her behalf.
I
wouldn't. Because like
I don't know if I would testify on her behalf. I'd testify.
It's like her defense attorney contacted me. Because I would be like, no, she was distracted.
Yeah.
Like she was not like she like in a distracted way.
Went out and like deliberately
died.
Yeah, exactly. It was an accident.
I would tell the truth. Like it was an accident, but she was distracted. It's not like it is her fault. She wasn't paying attention.
That's exactly right. Yeah. You don't want me to be the one.
No.
I just keep seeing a like,
little
Mista. Mista from Happy Gilmore.
I've never seen
it. Do you remember?
That's been a long time since I've
seen it. Oh my God. You know that Mista lady? I think you killed her. Anyways. I'll pull it up after we have a break. Oh my goodness. Well, you guys want to take five and then we'll come back with the tainted love.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're back.
Okay, so my tainted love this week. The three of us have been knee deep in Gilded Age.
Yes.
Have
oh.
we?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So Cassie is now caught up. You burned through all of season one and season two.
My husband is out of town.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. There you go. I binged the rest of season two. There is just something, we were talking off mic about this, like there is just something so comforting about that show where it's just like the stakes are low.
Yeah.
It's rich peopling, but in a way that doesn't make me want to like throw myself off a bridge, you know? It's not like Succession where I feel I loved Succession. I watched it twice. I love Succession, but I was like max two episodes on Succession at a time because these people give me the creepy crawlies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this story does take place during the Gilded Age. It is a Gilded Age story.
Okay.
I am going
I'm feeling
to
the stakes are a little higher than an alarm
the
clock.
Stakes are somewhat higher, yes.
Okay.
I am going to be talking about Eva and Robert Ray Hamilton.
Okay.
And I do mean Hamilton as in the Hamiltons.
The, okay.
Oh, the Hamilton the Hamilton. Hamilton.
Ah, yes.
The Hamilton Hamiltons of America.
Oh, great. Great, great, great.
So I do want to also say that I have talked about Alexander Hamilton on this podcast before because he did, he was the defense attorney or one of the defense attorneys on the first murder trial in the United States of Levi Weeks. And that episode is 206. If you want to go refer to it, I did my homework.
Listen.
Well done.
So if you are curious about that story, you can go back and listen to that one. Now, Robert Ray Hamilton was the great-grandson of Alexander Hamilton.
Okay.
At the time of his death, Alexander and his wife Eliza of Alexander Broadway musical fame had seven surviving children, one of which was John Church Hamilton, who was only 12 when his father died in when Alexander Hamilton died in the duel with Aaron Burr. So he was 12 years old at that time. John Church would go on to have 14 children. Ooh.
That's so many kids.
So many
That's
kids.
That's what they did back then.
Yeah, popped them out.
You don't have Hulu. You
it's
know?
True. It's bangity bang.
You ain't got Max.
All the Gilded
Age. You also need to like fucking just put some in the bank because there's stuff like, I don't know.
Yeah.
The influenza.
Tuberculosis. Yeah. like that.
Yes. So they had 14 children, one of whom was a boy named Skyler, who would go on to have Robert Ray on March 18th, 1851.
Hmm.
Pisces. Has to be said.
Okay, great. Nailed it.
The Hamiltons were amongst the most prestigious families in New York, pretty much since the time of Alexander, and they'd only grown more wealthy and successful as they cemented themselves among New York's elite old families.
Mm-hmm.
So writer of The Scandalous Hamiltons, Bill Schaefer, akins the Hamilton name at this time to being similar to how we think of the Kennedy name today. So they're like American royalty.
Got it.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
They're Kardashians.
Of their time. Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, Kennedy, maybe how we thought of the Kennedys, like when...
Like a royal family, almost.
Yes, they were like... Yeah.
Or like the Bushes, and more recently, like they were a thing.
Yes, a
until
legacy.
Jeb.
They were like a legacy.
Until Jeb.
Please clap. That's always what I think. Jeb,
please clap.
Robert Ray was successful in his own right, no doubt in large part because of his
name.
Lineage.
Yeah.
Privilege.
Every time I see that, it's like putting Kylie on the cover of Forbes and being like self-made billionaire. And you're like, okay,
cool. She had help.
It's a really loose term there.
Yeah.
And Robert Ray attended Columbia Law School before becoming an attorney, a state legislator in Albany, and a real estate developer who owned upwards of 30 buildings around New York. He, Robert Ray, who mostly went by Ray, so that's how I'm going to refer to him throughout the rest of this, was considered to be a highly eligible bachelor.
Yeah.
Not only was he rich, smart, and successful, he was also considered good looking and charming. And he is actually one of those people, despite the big bushy mustache, I'm like, he does have a face that I'm like, I could see that. Like, you know, if you were charming.
Yeah.
Rich.
I wonder when he gets introduced into the, is it going to be next season?
Yeah. Then we get a,
I mean, we're already out of John
Honestly,
Adams.
Honestly, this storyline in Gilded Age. Okay.
Okay.
So he was charming. Still, Ray was not interested in settling down. And as he entered his 30s in the 1880s, it was thought that he would remain a bachelor. They're like, he's in his 30s. He's probably just going to be a bachelor, at least for a while longer.
Right.
You know, like whatever. Yeah. Although there were several women in his life, one of whom was Eva Steele. So Ray met Evangeline Steele at a brothel.
What a fucking name.
Evangeline Steele.
Do you, that sounds like
you couldn't tell me what to do
at all.
She should have been on Dynasty with a name like that.
Do you know what my name is?
Evangeline Steele. Oh, nice to meet you.
I actually wondered if we could be related somehow because the Steeles are one side of my family. My great grandmother was Ollie Steele.
Oh, dude.
Are on great name. And it's spelled the same way. S-T-E-E-L-E.
L-E, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. So he met Evangeline Steele at a brothel in 1885 and took an immediate liking to her. Eva's background couldn't be more different from Ray. She was
clearly.
Yes.
I'm guessing.
Yes. She was born and raised in the backwoods of Northeast Pennsylvania and grew up poor. Her father was a woodcutter by trade and an alcoholic who constantly
by night. Well,
yeah. Who constantly uprooted Eva and her siblings, taking them all over Pennsylvania in search of work. So
what a glass castle.
Yes. Yeah. So he was a woodcutter who mostly worked for the railroads. Mm. So cutting wood for the railroads. So he would go work a job, work till it was done, move to the next place. And so he would take them with him kind of all over the place. The people around Eva wrote her off early. Basically, they were like, they thought she was stupid. Mm-hmm. So they wrote her off early. They discontinued her education
equals stupid.
Right. Yeah. Around the fourth grade. With the belief that she was, they're like, she's not bright. Why bother anyway? Kind of.
Wow. Jeez.
Just fucked up. Because of her lack of education, connections, pretty much anything that could give her a leg up in life, she found the best work she could, which was as a sporting girl at a brothel in New York. And it was there that she would meet and become the favorite of Robert Ray Hamilton.
I have a question. What is a sporting girl?
It's just a sex worker. That's just what they call.
Oh, God.
A sporting girl.
I was like, is this a separate type?
No, you would think.
Are there different like levels?
I did Google it because I wondered that same thing. I was like, is this a special?
Yeah.
She's into a certain thing?
In something?
She's into pony play or anything? Yes, you know? Exactly. I don't know.
No. At this time, it wasn't unusual for men of Ray's social standing to visit brothels or even have mistresses. And I wrote in parentheses, this is why we all love George Russell, even though we shouldn't.
Yeah, because like, that's exactly
that man
right.
Is loyal as fuck.
Listen,
to his
good
wife.
For him. When he that bitch got in his
her
bed, oh.
Ooh.
I was so heated about that.
And she, he, oh.
Everyone
good
needs
for
to
you
watch Gilded Age. Oh. Okay.
That, they have a, like I said, they have a very Gomez Morticia Adams.
It. Yes, it's beautiful relationship.
It's spicy, it's loving, it's it's
when
the best.
They kiss, I'm like, ooh, wait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Them's real
kisses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's pulling up her skirt.
Ooh.
Okay.
Honey. Okay. Oh, wait, gotta get off the subject. Ray took to Eva immediately and for years would visit her when he was in the area, buying her expensive gifts and giving her money when she asked. He even provided financial support to the people in Eva's life, specifically a woman named Anna and her son, Joshua Mann. Eva claimed that Anna was like a grandmother to her and Joshua had suffered head trauma and was now mentally disabled. So he's like, can you help? She's like, can you help him out? It's unclear if Josh actually had a mental disability or not. But what is clear is that Eva was having a relationship with both men. So she was having a relationship with Ray and having a relationship with Josh Mann. And Ray was financially supporting Josh and his mother.
Yoink. Got it.
Mm-hmm. So Ray was not often around. And even if he was, I'm not sure what the expectations were of their relationship. I'm not sure if he was around, if she would have been expected to be exclusive to him. I'm not sure. But when Ray wasn't there, Eva and Josh were constant companions with people who knew the couple calling her his common law wife. The relationship with Ray went on for years, and despite her common law status with Josh, Eva began to express her wish to Ray that they get married.
Hmm.
We've all seen Gilded Age.
Yeah.
Okay. Ray was.
I feel like he has an aunt that's just not going
disapproving.
To.
Disapproving. You are a Hamilton.
How dare you?
I love that that was one of the plot lines this season, that tricky fucking bitch that tried to get in the ended up getting another rich person.
Oh,
wow.
I was like,
yep.
Woof. Wow.
Ray was not interested in marrying Eva for a number of seemingly obvious reasons.
Yep. Yeah.
Then in April of 1888, during one of his visits, Eva surprised Ray with some life-altering news.
I'm having your baby.
Preggers.
She was pregnant.
Baby.
And Pregante.
I also want to say at this point, I first heard this story and got a lot of the information from Crimes of the Century.
Mm. Oh.
Crimes of the Century's podcast. Great podcast. I've mentioned it before. There'll be a link to it on our website if you want to go and listen to Amber Hunt tell this story. But, okay. So she's like, I'm pregnant. And she was sure that the baby was his and that she was due to deliver in the winter.
Mm.
Distraught at the thought of how significantly motherhood was going to change her life, Eva asked Ray for a favor. She's like, look, my fun times, good times are almost over. Can you fund a trip for me to go to Europe so I can have one last big hurrah before settling into motherhood?
I mean,
what is it? That's pretty common nowadays. Yeah. Like a baby moon.
Yeah, I get it. I mean,
listen,
he agreed and off Eva went for several months, taking Josh with her, though Ray didn't know that at the time. Ooh. So he funded a trip for her and her boyfriend to go to Europe.
They're doing an ultimate world cruise. It's 9 months.
Oh my fucking God. Cruise TikTok? Wild.
Wait, what? There's a thing?
There's a 9 month cruise. Yeah. I think it's Royal Caribbean or something. 9 months. Oh my God.
No, my mom's best friend that she travels with a lot does the worldwide year long cruise.
Being on
a year.
A cruise for a year, I would die.
Well, I would gain 10,000 pounds.
A million pounds. Easy. Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. Elastic waistband, everything.
So yeah, there's cruise TikToks because there's already drama going on. There's a caste system that's developed.
Oh my God.
Oh shit.
Yeah. They ran out of wine.
Oh my God.
Already. And it's only a month and a half in.
Uh-oh.
They're going to, at the stop, they're going to have to pick up some more.
Yeah. They keep trying to find, but they're they've been out of it. Anyways, it's a very good time. So yeah, look up the drama.
One of these days at the top of the episode, we'll talk about what weird sides of TikTok we've ended up on because cruise talk and North Sea TikTok. Have you ended up on the North Sea TikTok?
Yes.
What the fuck, you guys? I'm never on TikTok. God.
Anyway.
I gotta get back on it.
Have you heard of Tunnel Lady?
No.
Oh my God, you guys. What?
There's a woman in the suburbs that just decided to build a whole fucking tunnel
from her backyard?
Under her house.
Why?
Under her house, a big ass tunnel, why? Reinforcing the walls and stuff.
For what?
I don't know.
Just so she can make it travel. She hates people that much. She's like, I want to get to the grocery store without seeing another fucking person. I'm going underground.
Underground. She's like a mole.
That is insane.
Anyways.
Okay. Anyway. Doesn't matter. Right. We're getting really far off.
Oh my God. What is happening?
We have to focus. Okay. So she went to Europe with Josh on Ray's dime. When Eva returns from Europe, Ray was in his busiest season at work, and as Eva was entering her third trimester, it was common for women of means, who she now kind of was, to spend their last trimesters on bed rest with a female family member. So off she went to stay with her mother in Elmira, New York, for the duration of her pregnancy, so for the third trimester, and to give birth.
Hmm.
Once the baby was born, a girl they named Beatrice and introduced to her, and they introduced Beatrice to her father, Ray finally agreed to marry Eva, and they did on January 7th, 1889. No one in Ray's life knew that he'd been seeing anyone, seriously, let alone serious enough to marry and have children with.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than spring this on his family and friends, he took Eva and Beatrice and went to San Diego. They fucked off from New York. They went to California.
Place. Yeah.
He let a little bit of time pass, and then he wrote his friends and family and was like, while I was in San Diego, met a woman. Surprise, surprise. I met a woman and we had a baby, got married and had a baby. And they're like, wow. I mean, things happened quickly back then.
Yeah.
So they were like, great. And for their part, the family, the Hamiltons, seemed pretty supportive and happy for Ray. They were like, can't wait. I hope she brings you a lot of joy. Can't wait to meet the baby. Sounds good. Before Eva and Ray left New York, they hired a nanny and wet nurse named Mary Ann Donnelly, as Eva's milk hadn't come in and the baby was struggling to thrive. When the family left for California, Mary Ann came along with them, though she and Eva did not get along.
Hmm.
The two women did not like each other.
Hmm.
That's tough.
Yes.
Can I feed your baby?
Yeah. Since you can't.
Oh, Jesus. Yikes.
Eva didn't thrive in San Diego. It's said that she hated it there. She became depressed, losing 40 pounds. and her and Ray began to fight more and more. She and Marianne were both heavy drinkers, which seems sketch for a wet nurse.
That's, yeah.
But yeah. Okay.
I guess I don't know the rules.
They
but
didn't know back then. Yeah. But yeah, I guess so. Marianne and Eva would get like fucking wasted, shwasted. And they had like really short tempers. So they would get drunk and start fighting. Like
amazing.
Ray would often have to intervene between the women to keep them from like physically fighting each other.
Wow.
Eventually, Ray decided that they needed to move back to the East Coast for all their sakes. And in the summer of 1889, they were making their way back to New York with a plan to vacation in Atlantic City for 4 weeks before going home. The vacation was miserable. Things between Eva and Ray were devolving, and Eva and Mary continued to drink and fight. On the day before the couple were due to leave Atlantic City on August 26th, Ray broke the news to Eva that the marriage was not working and he wanted a divorce, promising her $5,000 a year to take care of their daughter. Wow. Which is a significant amount of money back then.
That's a pretty decent amount of money, yeah, back then.
And a huge come up in the world for her, right? Right.
She won't have to work again.
But she flat out refused. And an argument, she's like, absolutely fucking not. Yeah. Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm. And an argument between the couple ensued. At some point, Marianne, who was already no fan of Eva's, decided to throw herself in the mix. She's like, I'm going to get in on this fight.
You shouldn't.
Yeah, she was She was standing up for Ray. She included herself in the fight, which only further enraged Eva.
Yeah.
It should be mentioned that though it was 10 a.m., both women were already drunk as Eva.
Ma'am.
Eva had sent Marianne
out. So was the baby.
Yes. Baby. They're like, this baby's a really good sleeper.
Really quiet. Yeah. So quiet.
They, Eva had sent Marianne out at 7 a.m. to buy whiskey.
Holy shit.
God.
And the two. Breakfast whiskey.
No.
Yes.
That's the name of this episode. And
breakfast whiskey. And, dude, that's a whole nother level.
And, yeah. We've discussed it before. Whiskey drunk is when you are like whiskey drunk is a different kind.
It's
like
it that, is.
You're gonna fight.
And you're gonna fight.
And
you're
asking.
Time has everything to do with it too. Yeah. Whiskey drunk at in the 8 a.m.
Whiskey dependence. Like this isn't just like we're having like an old fashioned on a fun night out. Like this is like you are dependent on whiskey. You are drinking it at 7 a.m.
Wow.
Yes. So they'd been drinking all day. They were all day meaning 3 hours.
Yeah.
And they were.
God. Drunk.
Yeah. The fight continued to escalate until eventually Eva grabbed a nearby ivory-handled knife and stabbed Marianne in the gut, who began bleeding profusely.
Yeah, you think? She's been drinking for yes. the past 8 months.
And in the gut's a bad place to get stabbed.
Oh, you don't love it anywhere.
So she collapses to the floor. Authorities are called. They take Marianne away to the hospital. They arrest Eva, who readily admits that she stabbed Marianne.
Yeah, she's like, that bitch.
I did. Though Marianne was alive, her injuries from the stabbing were so severe that she was not expected to survive. Word quickly spread that a Hamilton was involved in a stabbing, and soon journalists from New York and all the surrounding states showed up. The next morning, the Hamilton name was front page news, sensationalizing the stabbing, with some saying that Eva disemboweled her wet nurse.
Wow.
Nice. Did it mention that they were wasted?
Yeah, and how drunk they were. This was huge, and it was only going to get bigger. It would turn out that the stabbing was one of the least scandalous details in this story. Okay.
Buckled up.
Buckled okay. up. It didn't take long for reporters to uncover that Eva had been a sex worker, which you might think like, oh, that's the scandal.
Right.
Mm-mm. While that was big news among the high society set, that was not the worst of it. As reporters dug deeper, taking a closer look at Eva and her relationship with Ray, they soon discovered that Eva had, in fact, never been pregnant.
She stole a baby.
Not only that.
That bitch stole a baby. No wonder her milk didn't come in.
Not only that, the little girl currently in the Hamilton house was the fourth child Eva had brought home, having bought three previous children.
I'm sorry.
And the current Beatrice from a baby farm in order to trick Ray into marrying her.
What happened to the other three?
Trigger warning for child
neglect. Oh, no.
Oh, my.
The first two babies Eva brought home died within days as Eva had no means of feeding the children since, she didn't produce any milk. And there was no formula at this time. The baby starved to death.
Oh my God.
Yes. And the and she had introduced at least one of these babies to Ray. That was the first baby that she had introduced. She rushed to get a third baby. But again, as she had already introduced Ray to his daughter, in doing so, she bought one that looked nothing like the first two. Oh. So she had bought a baby and she's like, this baby doesn't look enough like the other baby that he's already seen. So she had to return that baby.
Oh, okay.
She took that baby back.
Babies are us.
Okay. Yeah.
Fearing that she wouldn't be able to pass it. Yeah, off. So that is when she went and got the fourth baby, who became Beatrice.
Beatrice number four.
And this one, although it looked a little bit different, it was said that like her ears stuck out a lot more. Like, so if he had maybe been paying attention, closer attention, he might have been like, what happened to her ears? But looked close enough. I mean, babies are babies.
Yeah. Babies look like babies.
Especially
for the most part.
To men.
And to this men in this time period.
Yeah.
Not taking
for
close
sure.
looks, right?
Yeah. Looks about the right size.
Yeah. Seems right. Yeah. So at this point she'd wised up and was like, Ray, we need to hire a wet nurse stat to feed Beatrice.
Yeah.
So that is why they hired Marianne Donnelly, because Eva had never been pregnant and was on baby number four and needed to keep this baby alive.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe I've never heard this.
This is
shocking.
This is insane.
Wild.
Shocking. So the news, of course, shocked the nation. This story had everything. A prominent American family, a sex worker, a cat fight, babies that were bought and sold.
Jesus.
Eva and Ray were on the front page of newspapers across the country for months, and the headlines were not favorable to either of them, often referring to Ray as Eva's deluded husband. And many speculated how he could have let himself get into this position in the first place.
Wow.
Like, you had every advantage in life.
Yeah.
And somehow you got yourself wrapped up in this situation. It
probably destroyed his career.
What career? Yeah. What is your career?
Well, he was a legislator.
Oh,
yeah. State legislator at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah. His term, I think, was set to come to an end around this time anyway. But I do not believe he continued on as a legislator after this. It was also soon revealed that Eva and Josh Mann, it was him and his mother, Anna, who first confessed to investigators and then the press that Beatrice was not Ray's daughter. So they spilled the beans.
Holy shit.
Was actually married to Eva. So a lot of articles and the Hamiltons insisted that she be referred to as Eva Mann, like whenever, because they were like,
not
legitimate. It's not a legitimate
Keep
marriage.
My fucking name out your goddamn mouth.
Yes. Marianne, who spent most time with Eva and Beatrice, had begun to suspect that Beatrice was not their child and had seen Eva with Josh Mann on more than one occasion and had reportedly threatened to expose Eva to Ray, which may have led to Eva's eventual decision to stab her, but certainly led to the two not getting along, not liking each other. Like, Marianne's like, I fucking see you, bitch.
Yeah.
I see you. I see what you're doing over there. Like, and she's drunk.
That baby don't look like you.
And she's drunk all day.
She's drunk
all day. Also that.
That baby doesn't even fucking look like you. Fuck you, bitch. My fucking Beatrice
you
the Thorpe.
You have to wonder. I mean, I know he's a Pisces, but like, why are you... Like, you imagine, you're
just
in San Diego, you're just like, these two women are fighting constantly, you're having to intervene, there's a baby involved. Like, what has happened to your life, Ray?
Honestly.
You are a Hamilton.
That's what his aunt said, too.
Yes.
You're a Hamilton.
Yes. Christine Baranski, his aunt. Ray had intended to stand by Eva after the initial stabbing, but when the other details came out about the babies...
He's like,
he quickly turned his back on her, refusing to look at or acknowledge her during the trial. The Hamiltons, though humiliated, did stand by Ray, writing letters of sympathy and support throughout the ordeal.
Oh, though I'm sure it was like, he was bamboozled,
swindled.
Yeah.
Ray took the stand in Eva's trial and expressed that he never doubted the story and loved and cherished the child that he thought was his.
Aww.
Eva also took the stand, though in hindsight that may have been ill-advised, since she refused to answer many of the questions about the circumstances of Beatrice's birth on the grounds that she may incriminate herself. That never looks good.
No, maybe
the fifth.
Yeah, I played the fifth. The jury deliberated for 2 hours before finding her guilty of atrocious assault.
Oh,
I guess
that's
attempted murder didn't exist at the time.
Atrocious assault. I wish it was still called that, actually.
And sentencing her to 2 years in prison. Ray filed for an annulment and headed west to clear his head and probably also to escape. Having seen Gilded Age, can you imagine being in New York society when this is going on? When you are the center of this kind of scandal? Mm-hmm. I'd get the fuck out too. I'm like, goodbye.
Seems very cliquish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yeah. While Ray did not take baby Beatrice back, he did make sure she was cared for. He frequently sent her gifts and amended his will to ensure that she would continue to be looked after in the event of his death.
Aww.
And when he did that, he had Eva written out.
Good call. Yeah.
Obviously.
Good call.
Eva contested the annulment from prison, saying that she was never married to Josh Mann and that she was Ray's legal wife and as such was entitled to dower rights, which existed in New York at the time, and afforded a wife with 1/3 of her husband's assets upon divorce.
Whoa. Which is a lot. That is a hefty. Yes. Well, but you know what? Women couldn't really work that much back then.
No, I mean, under normal circumstances, honestly, I'm like, fair.
Yeah.
You know,
back then, for sure, fair.
Yeah. It was looking as though it would be a long legal battle, and so Ray dove headfirst into a new project, relocating to Wyoming to begin construction on a new hunting lodge with a business partner that he'd met at Yale named John Sargent. With construction underway, Ray decided to take a solo hunting trip against the advice of the locals. When he didn't return, they searched the area for days before finding his body tangled in brush and floating in a nearby river. He was so bloated that he had to be identified by his mustache.
Ooh.
He'd been in the water for days.
Damn.
Nice.
Though some believed that Ray's business partner, John Sargent, had something to do with his death, he was never prosecuted and it was determined that it was likely an accident.
Hmm.
Since Eva was still technically Ray's wife at the time of his death, she petitioned for 1/3 of his estate.
God.
The Hamiltons weren't having it, though, and they took her to court, eventually taking it all the way up to the New York Supreme Court,
who
ruled in their favor. Still honestly determined, good. Though.
Goddamn, bitch.
She presented the Hamilton family with a note that she found from Ray, in which he promised to give Eva $10,000 should anything happen to him. She's like, I just happened to find this note that Ray left me. Not wanting to fight anymore, the Hamiltons acquiesced.
Just get whatever, out of our life.
We just want you to go away.
Isn't she still in prison?
I think that the legal battle went so long she's out of prison now because she was only in prison for 2 years.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Oof.
So they gave in. They gave her $10,000, which is a lot of money in the late 1800s.
And they're like, please sign this saying that you will
never come back ever again.
Yeah.
Breathe our air. Bye-bye.
Eva, of course, blew through the money and eventually died in poverty in 1904 of alcohol-related heart disease in the charity ward of the Greenwich Village Hospital.
Yikes. Wow. That is a movie.
I can't believe it. Yeah, I can't believe the movie hasn't been
insane.
Made
that's insane.
I hope they cover the Hamilton scandal. Oh, I do too. On Gilded
Age. At least like a little bit.
Yeah.
Have you seen this in the newspaper? Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy crap. The Gilded Age is one of my favorite periods. I don't know why, because I'm so eat the rich.
Yeah.
And it was the last time in America we had a huge, huge disparity in inequality.
Yeah. I mean, they wore tiaras regularly,
parties would start and they would go all night. Like people would literally come home in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, some of the parties that you hear about from like the Vanderbilts and that kind of thing.
It feels like fantasy. I think that's kind of why it's easy to just be like, this isn't
real life.
This isn't real.
We've seen pictures though from like some of their parties where they're like dressing these elaborate costumes and stuff.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's just like, I would love to be able to dress up just for fun, like that, the way that they are able.
Well, it's good news. The Brooklyn Bridge was built in 1869, so we have a little bit of time.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
We might not get there on the show. We might not make it. Well,
maybe
far.
They fast forward a little bit.
But yeah, that story is bananas, and I just think like there's not enough time to really talk about like baby farms and like an industry where you could just go buy babies.
There's so many really awful crime stories
terrible.
around that. Not just in the U.S. either, but
Well,
speaking of which, that is what I'm watching this week. It's The Gilded Age. That was that was my, what are you watching this week? Mm-hmm. I blew through it. I don't know why. I just couldn't get that past that first episode for some reason.
It's a slow beginning. You got to kind of
push
through.
But then honestly, by the time I got the second episode, I was like, oh yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know why. I was just struggling to get through that first episode. But then, and then I couldn't put it down. I will tell you, here's my thing. Like everything, the timeline is screwy for me. Like,
okay.
Like a lot happens.
Yes.
In a very short period of time.
Yeah, it feels short. But it also could be weeks.
Well, and also, I think it is weeks. And also, I think everything in general moved much quicker. Like, I don't think it was strange for you to meet someone and get engaged and get married in a 2-month period.
Sure. Especially, I think, they do try to explain that away because she does say, like, we're older now. Like, there's no reason to wait. Yeah. Why would we wait? Why I don't need a long engagement? Yeah. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
No spoilers, but yes, it's a great show.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I started watching, what was it? I think it's called Catherine. It's not The Great, not the one that's
on Hulu.
You're
watching the one with Helen Mirren?
Yes.
Yes. Mm.
I have watched like 4 episodes and
not sure.
No, I don't think so.
Hear a ton about it, which made me think it probably wasn't great.
It's very weird. Yeah. The casting is weird. Mm. And I like Helen Mirren, but I'm also just like, I don't know. Yeah.
In this capacity, maybe not.
I'm not loving it. I think I'm going
to
drop it.
Someone recommended on one of our platforms, The Serpent Queen to us, which I really want to watch.
I watched all of that.
Did you like it?
The Serpent Queen. I don't know this one.
It's about Medici, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Catherine.
Yes. And it's got the harlots. Mom.
Emily.
I love her as the Serpent Queen. She is great in it.
Okay.
I think I would give it out of 5. I would give it a solid 3.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
I did watch the first episode of Curious Case of Natalia Grace season 2, which is Natalia Speaks.
Yes. I saw that came out. Thoughts?
I'm going to finish it. I think I was not in a good mental place to be watching it because it's just like, man, this is awful.
Yeah.
You know, it's just those people are so
all of them
terrible. Yeah. And it's just sad. You know, it's kind of like a sad situation.
She was a child with physical difficulties and the husband.
Later in this season, he and Natalia sit down together.
Oh.
So that's going to be interesting to see.
Oof. I do not like him.
So is she an adult pretending
they did,
to be a child?
No, at the end of the very first episode, not to spoil anything, because it is all over the internet, so I don't really feel like I'm spoiling anything, but it was pretty much determined at the end of the last season that she was a child. Like, everyone was like, no, she had her teeth work done. Like,
oh.
And then at the end of this episode, she believes she's 20. That's what she thinks she is.
But that's so hard when you're a kid and people are telling you different things.
Yeah. So they had her blood work done, which determined that she is 22, which means that she was a child when they left her
in an apartment.
In an apartment by herself.
So she was
so psychotic.
7, I think, when they adopted her. Yeah.
This is absolutely.
So she was like 9 when they left her alone. Yeah.
9 years old.
Yeah.
How do you ever cover?
And there's like testimony from like there was a dentist they interviewed who was like, yeah, the mom came in because she had questions about her age. We did an x-ray and she had so many baby teeth that it would have put her at the time that she came in between the age of 8 and 10. And I told her that. So like the mom
knew
and just kept going to different doctors until she found the answer she wanted to hear. Yeah, who would tell. And then they aged her up. Like if she was as old as they're saying that she was, she'd be older than me because they gave her a 1989 birthday.
Holy shit.
So, and she's 22.
What?
So this poor girl, she lost her whole childhood.
Absolutely bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I don't think I can watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So, honest. And there's like several episodes. Again, I hope that didn't spoil it for anyone. It is right in the first episode and it's been all over the news.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I will finish it because I am curious to hear what she has to say because I watched the whole first season. I think right. I'm and like, I owe it to her. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Because a lot of time, like we got plenty of time with that piece of shit that was, you know, her mm-hmm. father.
Yeah. And a lot of this is refuting claims that he's made too. Like a lot of people are coming in and being like, this is what he said in the first season. Here's the receipts that like, that's
good.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll let you keep telling me about it.
Okay. Great.
I don't owe her because I didn't watch first season.
Fine. Yeah. 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 So. You can get the information secondhand yeah. for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you guys have something that we should watch, if you want to reach out and say hello, if you have a terrible date story, please write in and go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's mywarstatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers.